You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Almighty God, would you make your Son, Jesus Christ, present to us today by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning on this third Sunday of the Easter season. It's good to be here. I love that all of our readings in this season are focused on the resurrection, the stories of Jesus coming to his followers and people who perhaps had not even seen him in the beginning to show that he really is alive. It tells us that not only can we trust the witness of the people that he did indeed rise from the dead, and it also shows us a bit of what resurrection life is like. Is hope in the resurrection worth it? What is eternal life? For these things that we talk about so much, there's so much mystery surrounding them. And it's a real gift that Jesus gave us a glimpse of reality through his incarnate life. Our gospel lesson from Luke 24 today is on page 5. And it's a wonderfully gracious and human word. Remember the previous part of this chapter, Luke 24. Jesus had been on the road with some of his followers. They were traveling a 7-mile journey to Emmaus. And while they were traveling, these followers were bemoaning the fact that Jesus, this one they loved and thought would be their deliverance, didn't come through. He actually died. And they're telling him all about it. And Jesus said, "Tell me more." And they didn't recognize Jesus, but he opened their minds to the scripture. And only when they got to their place of rest that night and he broke bread for their dinner did they recognize, this is Jesus. And they immediately traveled the 7 miles back, and that's where we find our text today, starting in verse 36. While they were telling these things, this is the very first part of that verse, they came and said, Jesus is alive, we were just with him on the road. And while they were there with the followers of Jesus, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, peace be to you. Jesus appeared in their midst with tidings of peace and assurance. Understandably, his friends were shocked and scared. You know how you would feel if you weren't expecting this to be possible, never mind the locked door. Everyone in my life knows that all you have to do is walk up into my peripheral vision and I will jump and scream, even if I knew you were in the building. So I can imagine these disciples' response to seeing Jesus there. It's not surprising that they were shocked. But immediately he speaks to their hearts, to their deepest griefs and fears and doubts, and he graciously assures them with his bodily presence. Peace be to you, he says. And then he says, touch me and see, I'm really real. You can imagine this. Who among us has not been extremely moved by a veteran returning from their deployment and their family encountering them? You know that, and you recognize, even if that hasn't been your own story, that joyous disbelief. Are you really here? And that's what these disciples are experiencing. To assure them even further, Jesus not only says, touch me, see that I'm real, but he says, do y'all have anything to eat? And of course, they gave him food. How many times had he eaten with them and displayed his divinity by blessing the bread and loaves and feeding 5,000 people, or blessing the cup and the bread after washing their feet as a servant king? And he promised to dine with them in the coming kingdom. Throughout this whole first portion of this text, Jesus assures his disciples of his bodily reality. Touch me and see that I am not a ghost. That he emphasizes his physical wholeness tells us that it really matters to Jesus. And this is an important fact. So what do we learn of resurrection life through what Jesus shows his friends? What does he specifically show them to assure him he is Jesus himself, who they have known? He shows them his hands and his feet. He shows them his wounds. And I find this profound. In his resurrected body, Jesus can exit a sealed tomb, walk through walls of a locked room. There's obviously something transcendent and new about this kind of body, and yet the scars of his life are visible. This tells us something remarkable about life in the resurrection, in the new creation. When we are made new, free from the curse of sin in this world, and fully alive in the very presence of God, our physical wounds are still visible. The scars of your life are visible in the resurrection because your story is not erased, but is redeemed and made new by the power and the grace of God. Jesus is not a ghost. You and I are not saved only spiritually. We do not look forward to a disembodied, ghostly reality in eternity. We do not only have fellowship with God spiritually, or just inwardly, or even mentally, but we have it physically. That's why we eat and drink in communion, and Christ's body is experienced through the fellowship of the church community. I know not many of us feel particularly excited about living this whole colorful, tangible life only to be with God on a cloud with a harp. And that picture of eternal life is exactly what Jesus debunks here with his followers. He is a new, resurrected, glorified man who is still completely himself in every way. The most central parts of his life experience are visible, and he shows them his wounds, because by them we see that God kept his word. Jesus really suffered death and rose again. That's why our collect for today asks that God would open the eyes of our faith that we may behold Jesus in all his redeeming work. His work of redemption reaches to the most trivial and to the deepest parts of our lives. God forgives and redeems our souls from our sin, from our inability to heal ourselves. And God does not erase, but makes new, heals and fills and restores every broken and hurting part of our bodies and lives. This is part of resurrection life. Consider the story of your life. If you needed Tommy John surgery because you messed up your elbow playing baseball, the scars of your surgery are not erased. That's part of your story, and it matters to God. If you have scars from self-harm, your wounds are not erased. That is your story, and it matters to God. Your scars from multiple rounds of chemo and radiation are not erased, because your story matters to God. Resurrection life in God, both now and in eternity, intentionally includes your whole life. And what about invisible wounds? The wounds from still not knowing why your dad left. The wounds from being shamed for being soft because you were musical instead of athletic. The wounds from losing friendship by betrayal or chronic misunderstanding. The wounds from having to bury your child. Your wounds matter to God, and he does not erase, but instead redeems them. This is good news. This is good news because it shows the love and power of God. You are not invisible. Your story is not insignificant to God, but is something he is healing and making new through the resurrection life of his son, Jesus. It's a way in which God's goodness and grace is made known in the world. God sees and cares about your life, your whole life, not just the notable parts. He does not only care about your resume. I find that extremely comforting and dignifying. Our God cares, and he will care for eternity. But what about the parts of your story that you do want to forget? What about the sin you desperately need erased? The lie you told? The line you crossed that changed someone else's life forever? Your complicity in a deal you knew was wrong? Will that be visible forever? Can God redeem that too? God, in his grace, does forgive and redeem even what we can't imagine ever being made right. Scripture says he does wash our sin away and makes us new creations, and where the old has gone, the new has come. Thanks be to God, your sin and mine is erased, and in Christ, you have the righteousness of God. And God knows how our memories work. And that's why Jesus came to his friends who had just turned away from him and said only, "Peace be with you." Jesus comes to you and to me in our shame with his peace eternally. That's one of the best things that we as the church get to offer the world. Honesty with our stories. We do not have to pretend we have it all together or transcended brokenness or made something of ourselves. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony of God's forgiveness and redemption. And that's just it. This is the grace and goodness of God, that Jesus heals us by his own wounding. He did not stay distant or leave us to our own efforts to heal ourselves, even to try to make something of ourselves. God does this work of new creation in us and for us. 1 John 3 was our reading on page 4, our epistle, and it shows us how this happens. In his love, God makes us his children by giving us Christ's life. John says we will have his kind of resurrection life, even in all its mystery, and we will be in perfect fellowship with him. And to that, John says, hope and abide in Christ. And do not keep on sinning, because that's not who you are as a new creation in Christ. You are righteous just as he is righteous. That's why Jesus came. He was revealed to take away sins, and that's why it matters that he rose from the dead. Do you remember in 2019 when an internet meme turned into a real-life plan to storm Area 51? It's a place in Nevada, a U.S. Air Force classified facility, and some folks suspected that extraterrestrial life was there, or at least evidence of it was. It really was kind of an accident that it blew up to be the event that it was, but a lot of people traveled to Nevada to storm the base. And news got out, and so, of course, law enforcement and authorities were saying, it's not going to work, don't come in, there will be consequences if you do. I didn't know a ton of the details, but I did remember thinking, please don't go, y'all, it's not worth it. Don't get hurt. It's not even real. Our faith in the resurrection is not like that. Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead is not a hoax. He is a ghost. He is not a ghost, and that is good news. That was the plan all along. Luke 24, verse 46 continues. Jesus said to them, "This is what I've been telling you this whole time." The Old Testament in its entirety was talking about this. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He showed them the promised Savior had to suffer and rise again in order to bring about forgiveness for all people. He had to die and be resurrected so that he might make us alive with him, redeem our sufferings, and raise us with him. One day we will be with him, and we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Jesus' body was redeemed through resurrection, and so will ours be. And right now, we have peace with God in every detail of our lives. We can have confidence that he is in the work of redemption right now, and that will be fully realized when we are raised with him. This invitation is for all nations. God, in his grace, redeems your story. Nothing is too big or bad or far for God to restore because he already rose from the dead. The worst sin could do is death, and Jesus rendered it powerless. By his own submission to death, he showed himself victorious. This is what he offers to us by grace because he loves us and he desires fellowship with us. Oh God, would you open our minds to understand the scriptures? To understand you, to understand the redemptive work you're doing in ourselves and in our world, and would we be faithful witnesses of you? Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.